So I'm continuing today with this series of sermons on core values of the congregation. I've said it before, but I would just say this again. I think that these core values in some way are like a bridge. They are a bridge to the deep roots of our past. They bring us to the present. And I think to the extent that one can remain focused on them, they will be a very valuable bridge as this congregation turns a page, turns a chapter in terms of congregational leadership and moving forward into the future. So here are these core values: personal commitment to Jesus Christ, community, Anabaptist Mennonite identity, denominational affiliation, service, and peace. And this morning I'm going to be talking about service. In some ways one might think this is the easiest of all, because I don't know of anyone in this congregation that is opposed to the idea of service. My sense is that it's an easy sell here. It's service projects are very popular amongst us, but I do think we can and should go deeper. And I would suggest that the key for our thinking this morning is the truth that service is one of a set of core values. And that statement has implications. I'm going to be using three words interchangeably, and I think there's other words you could use. Service is one. In some translations, the text from James uses deeds, and in still other translations, it uses works, and I'll be using those interchangeably. Shall we pray? Lord God, that we might have a faith that is living, alive, and pleasing to you is our prayer this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So I read the text from James, and I found myself wondering if there has ever been a time when followers of Jesus didn't feel themselves caught as if they needed to pick sides. Faith or works? Should we work to save souls or help the poor? In the early part of the last century, the early part of the 20th century, that battle became intense. It was framed as evangelism or the social gospel. It's either this or it's that. Which side are you on? Within our own denomination, I certainly saw this come alive when I worked for Mennonite Central Committee, and you could just feel the pull. Is it going to be missions, or is it going to be MCC? And that's why I wondered, is there ever a time in which we're not somehow told that we need to take sides? Now, what came to my mind as an illustration is when one is driving a car and drives one direction, perhaps is drifting in one direction, and a lot of accidents happen when you overcorrect. Too much to this side, oops, I don't want to go there, and so we overcorrect, and that's when accidents happen. It's dangerous. It's a recipe for catastrophe. This, overcorrect, this, and back and forth. Well, one has a sense that James was in a situation. We never know exactly what was going on with the biblical writers, but you do have a sense that he was in a situation where some correction was needed. It appears evident that works were being underemphasized, and so he wrote, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them?" And then it goes on. "Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm, be well fed,' and does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by actions, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds. I'll show you my faith by my deeds.' And it goes on and concludes, 'As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead.' Those words were written, time passes, and along comes Martin Luther in the early 1500s. And my sense is he wants to jerk the steering wheel. He wants to jerk it the other way. He quotes Romans, "It is salvation by grace through faith alone." And he was so convinced of this correction that he argued that James should be left out of the Bible completely. He called it an epistle of straw. It has no substance. And so it goes back and forth. How difficult it seems to realize that jerking the car into either ditch is equally wrong. And here is a premise which informs me: faith without works is dead, as James said, and works without faith are lifeless. Let's return to James. I don't think that he was, in fact, overemphasizing works. And I like the way that one commentator chose words to explain this, and it aligned almost exactly with the way that Chris told the children's story. You can just see that grapevine just sort of wilting, kind of as we were watching, right? So this commentator said, "Action is the proper fruit of living faith, because life is dynamic and productive. And because of that, faith that lives will surely produce the fruit of good deeds. Therefore, if no deeds are forthcoming, it's proof that the professed faith is dead." If something is wrong, if we don't have grapes. And I'll be talking more about that, but somehow there's a disconnect. There's something that isn't life-giving, that isn't dynamic. And so this commentator said that what James was suggesting is faith without deeds is not the right kind of faith. It's not living faith, nor can it save. Well, I think that truth from James is deeply embedded in our core values, and I find it fascinating and powerful to consider how intertwined these core values are. So while you see highlighted their service, if we were to simply, oops, now I'm really lost. I have no idea what I did there. Kind of like sermons without PowerPoints are dead in the water. There. I'm going to go back now. I'm good. The point that I was making before I distracted myself is that none of these have efficacy. None of these have power if they are separated from each other. So service without commitment to Jesus Christ, without community, without all of those, each one of those, if they aren't intertwined, they don't have power. And I want to think with you about some of the interconnections. So when Chris sat here and told the story, it was very clear that without Jesus, without the taproot, that vine is just going to continue to wilt and die. We become like seed that falls on bad soil and dies. But additionally, then, think on how serving together creates community. And it's hard to maintain the energy for service if one is not undergirded by the prayers and the money and the companionship of those in community. Or our denomination. Think how that connects to service, because it is the denomination that helps channel our energy for service and for missions into practical venues, like creating things like SWAP, sharing with Appalachian people that our youth go on, Mennonite Central Committee, and MDS. One can have all the goodwill in the world, but if you don't have some sort of an organizational structure to be able to put that into practice, it isn't going to happen. And service itself We are told not only do we need commitment to Jesus Christ, but it's not necessarily linear. Yes, you need that first, except Jesus said, when you do it to the least of these, you do it to me. And so service is also an entry point for getting to know Jesus. Oh, we didn't know that was you. Oh, that was you. And so serving is connected to personal commitment to Jesus Christ. And permeating all of these is the idea of peace. Peace, the peace of God, and peace on earth. Now, I'm jumping the gun a little bit, because next Sunday we're going to look at Anabaptist Mennonite values, identity. But I found it fascinating to consider this quote, and it's a quote which is well known, but I don't think it's necessarily well known in its entirety. And it's going to be quite a few words. We'll just work our way through this. I think you'll recognize this. If you're not familiar with the Mennonite Church, know that one of the early reformers in the 1500s that helped found the church, and in fact got nicknamed after him, was Menno Simons, thus the word Mennonites. And this quote is from Menno Simons, a 16th century spiritual ancestor of ours. There'll be two screens, this one and then another one, is the length of the quote. True evangelical faith is of such a nature it cannot lie dormant, but spreads itself out in all kinds of righteousness and fruits of love. It dies to flesh and blood, it destroys all lusts and forbidden desires. It seeks, serves, and fears God in its inmost soul. It clothes the naked, it feeds the hungry, it comforts the sorrowful. It shelters the destitute, it aids and consoles the sad. It does good to those who do it harm. It serves those that harm it. It prays for those who persecute it. It teaches, admonishes, and judges us with the word of the Lord. It seeks those who are lost. It binds up what is wounded. It heals the sick. It saves what is strong. It becomes all things to all people. The persecution, suffering, and anguish that come to it for the sake of the Lord's truth have become a glorious joy and comfort to it. Now, here's the part. At least in my experience, it is the most often quoted, because that's a long quote. Seldom do we want to take the whole thing. This is the part that I learned, and I would have said was the entirety of it. True evangelical faith is of such a nature, it cannot lie dormant. It clothes the naked, it feeds the hungry, it comforts the sorrowful, shelters the destitute, aids, consoles the sad, it does good to those who do it harm, it serves those that harm it, and it heals the sick. But now consider this, remembering that we're thinking about the way that the car steers, is it this way or is it that? How do you get to both ends? Consider this quote if one thinks of it as additionally having a more spiritual dimension. True evangelical faith is of such a nature that it dies to flesh and blood, it destroys all lusts and forbidden desires, it seeks, serves, and fears God in its inmost soul, it teaches, admonishes, and judges us with the word of the Lord, it seeks those who are lost, it saves what is strong or sound, and it becomes all things to all people. It changes one's perspective to hear Menno Simons say, one of the works of faith is to seek the lost. That's one of the works. It can't lie dormant. Faith without works, says James, is dead. And in essence, Menno Simons also said, faith without works is dead, and one of the works is to seek the lost. It's not either or, it is both and. So look at those again. True evangelical faith cannot lie dormant. Then come these things that some would say are more, what Chris said, the horizontal. Seeking, and this would be the peacemaking part of it, and the healing part of it. And then the rest is, well, the rest is what? The rest is also there. It would be interesting, and we'll look at this a little bit next Sunday, to say, you know what Menno Simons really stood for, and then to ask yourself, when did you last hear this preached as being included in the heart of Anabaptism? Forbidden desires, lusts, fearing God in our inmost soul. Not just feeding the hungry and clothing the naked, but learning to fear God in our inmost soul. To seek those who are lost. To become all things to all people. And the reality is, it's all together. It's not highlighted one way or another. And probably what James was doing was saying that in the day and age in which he lived, it was this that was not being seen to the extent that it should. Now when we look at ourselves, the question is, are we more this, or are we more, are we more this, or are we both together? If service, truly serving people, body and soul, is a part of our identity, how have we been, how are we today, and how do we want to be? Well, I want to conclude by looking back and by looking forward. I don't think that I have the definitive word on this. I have some observations. I offer them to you, perhaps in making the case in your mind why my observations are incomplete, you'll come closer to the truth. But my question was this: has this congregation done well at acting out this core value of service? And I think that in some ways it has been a stellar history. I had so much fun going into our history book and going back 80 years. I thought, this is one I want to tell you. Ida Troyer, who? Well, Ida Troyer, who was the spouse of one of the pastors, early pastors, and her son said she put out a garden every year, and the purpose of this garden, she wanted to send food out of this garden to support what? Now listen to the both end. To support the Peoria Home Mission, the Chicago Home Mission, what was then known as the Congo Inland Mission. And the way she got food there, they were canned, put in barrels, put in straw, then shipped overseas to the Congo. And some of the food went to the Meadows Mennonite Home and to the Mennonite Hospital and to other institutions. 700 quarts a year. Wow. So then I thought, since I've been here in 1996, I thought of, and again, this is just a sample, recycling furniture for families, our tremendous support of our local relief sale, the outpouring each year of donations for the Alternative Gifts Fair, the service projects we do, SWAP, Mennonite Disaster Service, Midwest Food Bank, and so forth and so on, and then all of you that serve in less publicized and meaningful ways. I look back on this with gratification. If there is such a thing as good, proud, I'm proud of us in the way that we have lived out and embodied service. But if I might borrow now the language of the book of Revelation, the letters to seven churches, where John of Patmos writes to these congregations, and you've done this well, you've done this well. However, and he says, I hold this against you, or there's a problem here, or whatever. It raises a question, so that there's a good, but then there's a however. I'm not sure that there's a problem, but I want to insert a however moving forward. The challenge is always to have service fully intertwined with our other values. Fully intertwined with our other values. And I would name it, for starters, to be necessary to guard against seeing the service projects that have happened as things that we have done. So a good discipline is always to say and believe, instead of saying, you know, how did the week go? Oh, we got a lot done. What would be the alternative sentence? God got a lot done through us. As persons rooted in Jesus, if we are truly rooted in Jesus, personal commitment to Jesus Christ, then our belief is that out of that relationship, fruit comes forth. Not that we're some sort of champion social workers and now and then we kind of pep ourselves up with a little spiritual stuff on the side, but that we are actually grafted into Jesus, and out of that relationship, fruit comes forth. So one asks questions like, how did working together, how did we comport ourselves so that as two or three gathered in the name of Jesus, one of the fruits that emerged was community? And here I have an example from the history of this congregation, and this is a good example, I believe. When this church was built, as I have heard the story, you remember the, if you were here last Sunday, the quote that I used that said either everybody counts or nobody counts? That was absolutely an example of that, in that the guiding principle was whoever shows up to work here, if they don't know anything at all, we will find a job for them that is important and that communicates you are valued, and your contribution meant as much as did the contribution of the most skilled contractor. So that at the end of the day, the word for those going home to every one of them was, thank you. Thank you for your contribution. So the way that the service happened was not measured by the production, it was measured by the community. Thank you for coming. Everyone is important. This work, this building is ours. We're doing it to the glory of God. Everyone counts. And we're not going to have a system whereby some people count a lot and some people count a little. So the very execution of what I'm trying to get at is the very execution of doing service needs to happen in such a way that says the least valued parts are as valuable as any, and entered into with that attitude, this, in a sense, creates or makes flower or blossom and come to life the body of Christ. How did we work together so that when we gathered in the name of Jesus, community was one of the fruits? Of the supposed divide between evangelism and service, I think one should never do a service project without a persistent question in our minds, sometimes not verbalized, but sometimes asked out loud with reflection together. How did our work and our lives and our words today bear witness to Jesus? Cleaning up after a tornado, planting a garden, tanning, whatever it might be, working at the MCC sale. How did our work and our lives and our words today bear witness to Jesus? There's a trap of pride, and rather than taking pride in how much good we do, the real spiritual reflection is to wonder about the opposite. So did we truly have an attitude of servanthood, of washing the feet of the least of those, of coming in as servants, not as persons lording it over? I think with these kinds of questions and the kind of interrelationship with the different core values, it changes from being rather than either or. I think it is a profoundly deep both and. And in truth, true evangelical faith cannot lie dormant, but spreads itself out in all kinds of righteousness and fruits of love. That was the quote, the opening sentence. True evangelical faith cannot lie dormant, but spreads itself out in all kinds of righteousness and fruits of love. At the Mennonite Church of Normal in 2019 and 2020 and 2021 and 2025, will they write our history that way? And in decades to come, their true evangelical faith could not lie dormant, but it spread itself out in all kinds of righteousness and fruits of love. I think aspiring to this truth and this ideal cannot but help but infuse this congregation with continuing vitality and joy. And I think it will contribute to sustaining real faith and relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.